One of the valuable things about doing life together and sharing life together is this kind of stuff, right? You know, we were at a birthday party the other night because it was somebody from the groups, it was their birthday. And so the group was celebrating that person's birthday. And, you know, we just flash a prayer up. It takes nothing to take a prayer, a two-minute prayer. But I'm sure God will hear that prayer and answer it, and someone else from our family. Because at any given moment, there's people from our church family all over the world on business, on different things that they're doing. But we can enter into those things. We're kind of balcony people. That's really what we are. We're balcony people. You know, we go with you to that court case. We can't actually maybe go in there with you, but we're there watching and wondering how it's going as we look down from our spot here in the balcony, as it were. So it's fun being a balcony person, just entering into people's lives. It's good. It's all good. Well, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Called this fully human, fully man. I suppose the subtitle could be easily, in whom we have redemption. This is a great passage of scripture. I'm sure it was written because of false teachers who were coming in and saying things about Jesus that wasn't true. And so Paul is making sure they know who Jesus is. And when we look at the cross, for next Sunday especially, when we think of who is Jesus, what do we know about him? And what can we proclaim about him? So I'm going to read from verse 13 to I think I'll go right to verse 20. He is the image, let me back a little further. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have the preeminence. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. What a marvelous passage of scripture that is. Would you bow with me, Lord? What a heart-touching verse those verses are. Thank you. Now, Lord, as I attempt to share on the insights of this, I pray that we might be ministered to. Pray we'll go home with something to dwell on, that would make you more precious. Lord, we want to make you, we want to present you as the answer, Lord, to everything in our life that's going on. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. In whom we have redemption, not merely through whom. If you do not pass from the through whom to the in whom, there is no redemption. The through is outside us in history, but the in is inside us in experience. The historical must become the experimental, or it isn't redemption. And so I can accept the through whom without personal self-surrender, but I cannot accept the in whom without personal self-surrender. The unsurrendered self, acting as God, creates a dominion of darkness. The self-centered live, move, and have their being is in a dominion of darkness as they fumble and stumble in the dark with this business of living. Then comes the great self-renunciation, self-surrender. We renounce self and we receive God. Then he and he alone delivers us from the dominion of darkness. God is once again our deliverer. We let go and we let God. And he delivers and transfers us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And the center of that transfer is the forgiveness of sins. The self and its sin must be surrendered. In other words, this can't be just a doctrine for you or for me. It must be a reality. The self and its sin must be surrendered. Then forgiveness, reconciliation, redemption, and the kingdom of his beloved Son can be ours. I thought, yes, amen, that's true. That's absolutely true. It can be. In whom we have redemption. But it must not be something on the outside. It must be something that I see on the inside and I appropriate it to my life. There's a second point. In him, the writer says, all things were created. All things were created. Now, when you see what he has created in heaven, all right, so we picture everything that's in heaven has been created by Jesus. And on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, he's grasping at things. If all of that, they were created through him and for him. It was for his glory and for his, that he would be high and lifted up. You see, Jesus, and this is a marvelous thing, is the image of the invisible God. You know, the Bible says that no one has ever seen God, and I actually hold a little theory on that. I don't know if we will ever see God. I believe we will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That will be our, that's why what I'm saying here is extremely important. It's, I'm stumbling for words here, but he's the image of the invisible God. So in other words, if we were asked to sketch what God is like, said we sketch it, and who is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God. Let me just pause there. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. I just want to show you something from Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to this. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus, your Savior, the one who we're going to depict as hanging on a cross next Sunday, created this world. Oh my goodness. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Somebody said, well, I wonder, what's God like? What's God like? It's Jesus. That's what he's like. It's the exact image. And so God wants you to know what he's like, and so we see Jesus. The exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe. Did you know that? He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And just drop down to verse 6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all of God's angels worship him. You see, this Lord that was crucified was the creator of the universe. And if that doesn't make you look at it afresh, I don't know ever what would. He's the firstborn of all creation. You see, we not only see the purpose of God in Jesus, but we see the purpose of creation in him. Creation reveals him because he made it all. For in him, all things were created, heaven and on earth, visible, all things created through him and for him. And so nothing in Scripture or outside of Scripture is more important to know that, to be aware of this. Is, you know, there's a kind of a patronizing silliness or nonsense about Jesus being a good teacher. He never ever said he was a good teacher. He never ever said he was a teacher. He never, that was of all the things he would claim, he never claimed that. And so we have that, well, he was a good teacher. Well, where did you get that from? What verse would that say? What verse were you thinking of? There isn't any. But we know, Paul says, we want you to know who he is, that all things were created through him and for him. And so I ask a question, does this mean then possibly, does it mean that the touch of Christ is upon all creation and maybe even deeper? Could it be that the way of Christ is written in the Bible, but could it be that the way of Christ is written in our blood? Could it be written in our nerves? Could it be written into our tissues? You see, this is why this is so important to get a hold of this. If you revolt against Christ, you revolt against yourself. Because he's made it all. He's a part of that, and part of that affects me. And I'm grateful for that. Could it be that everything that Christ has touched, it's got something of him in it? And we look at the trees, and we go for walks this afternoon, and we say, Jesus has been here. See, when we do the will of the Lord, we do the thing for which we were made. He made you. And then he's redeemed you. It's a powerful, wonderful thing. But when we do the will of God, we do the thing for which we're made. Christ is written into the very texture of my being. It's not just that he died for me on a cross. He's come into me even through his creation, because everything is made by him and held together by him. And so there's this touch upon our lives that if you revolt against Christ, you revolt against yourself. And for that reason, that would be a place of repentance. Number three, in whom all things hold together. So he created it, everything. He said everything, heaven, earth, everything in between, visible, invisible, all made by him. But it's not just made by him. Who keeps it going? Is it Jesus? He keeps it going. Colossians 1:17, all things hold together. And out of him, if all things flow together because of him, then out of him all things fly apart. You know, we wonder, if you see a picture of space, you can see all these things just hanging in space, planets. And we marvel at it. We say, oh, my goodness. Oh, National Geographic, look at these pictures. See those pictures? And we marvel at it. We just can hardly believe it's so beautiful. And knowing that it's in a very precision, every star is placed in the right place, every planet in the right place. Whether you go inwardly and looking at cells or whether you go outwardly into space, even the most secular person says, oh, my goodness, it's so intricate. How does it stay? How does it all work? How do the tides work, right? How does it, when it doesn't get too hot and too cold, somehow it's all regulated. How is that? Well, it's held together by him, and it flies apart if he's not in charge of it. So in him, all things are coherent. They make sense. I do think they do. And out of him, everything is incoherent. It doesn't make sense at all. But it's held together by Jesus, the one who will be nailed to the cross symbolically for us, is the one who holds it all together. And Paul would have known what he's talking about. He said, I just want you to know that. Number four, in him, all the fullness of God dwells. Now we say, well, how could that be? It just is. In Jesus, all that there is of the Father, all that there is of the Son, all there is of the Holy Spirit, every bit of it, all of it dwells in Christ Jesus. In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And I like that. That touched me when I was preparing this, that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. But I thought, that's what makes me want to dwell in Jesus too. God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. I'm sure he was. He was at home in Jesus. God was at home in Jesus. He was the perfect vehicle through which God would express himself. And that's what Hebrews talks about, that long ago, in many sundry times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, how many know we're in those days? In these last days, this is from the cross onward, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to be heirs of all things. And then he goes into it again and says that Jesus was a part of that, and he holds it all together, and he was at home. God the Father was at home in Jesus. The whole Godhead was at home. He's the vehicle. So it's not hard for us to realize then that God would say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Such a Son. Such a Son. My beloved Son. Yes. Lord, we get that. I wrote a little statement. Oh God, we know you through Jesus. We know you through Jesus. And here's the implications of these. Of these statements, these four statements, is that the greatness of Jesus and the power of Jesus, and that he holds it all together and he's coming back again for us, but it's all about the glorious name of Christ. That's what it has to, it's centered around that. And what I find difficult, and I speak to myself, how I don't love him enough. I don't love him enough. And I'm conscious of that. My feeble attempt to surrender myself is often held back by lots of things. But then I look around the body of Jesus, both locally here and beyond, and I thought, there's not many of us that really love you, Lord. There's not many. And I include myself in that. In him, in Christ, it's about the Lord. How could it be that I read a passage like that and I am not just humbled and just before God to say, it's you. This is who you are. How could I be lackadaisical? How could I be lukewarmish, kind of close to Jesus now, but not so close now? You know what I'm like. You know how we are as people. How could it be? How could it be that I've seen that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in him and we're complete in him? How could it not be that I'd say, then nothing can be held back from you? Nothing can be. There must be a radicalness about this, right? Which there isn't. At most, there's a mild enthusiasm. But there's not a radicalness about it that says, I have read what Colossians says, I have read what Hebrews said, and you could add to that Philippians chapter 2. I think I told you the story when I went up to visit Brother Pritchard not long before he passed away, or before he moved here, and then he passed away. But I was just hoping to interest him. So I said, which I had been reading, I said, Brother Pritchard, I've been reading Philippians chapter 2. And Stuart Briscoe said it's one of the greatest Christological passages in the entire New Testament. And he said, I disagree. Before I finished the sentence, he disagreed. I said, really? What's he said, Colossians chapter 1. He said, because it talks about his deity, who he is. And I said, thank you, Brother Pritchard, you're right, you're spot on. But whether you take Philippians 2 or Hebrews 1 or the book or Colossians 1, you get the idea. This is who Jesus is. How it just demands that we crank the heat up on our passion. And I think if you read these verses and meditate on these, especially those three passages, I think if you do that, I think that something will warm in your heart, something will warm in my heart. See, that where is that great compulsion to take this message to the four corners of the world? Say, we must prove that this is the Jesus that we serve and love is God. He's God. And I don't understand all of that, but I know there's deity, and I know John 1:1 talks about it, and I know all the I know where they all are, but there's still a mystery to it. There's implications. There are implications to this. One is, and maybe it doesn't apply to us because we're probably all baptized, but one is, you can see why the minute you come to Jesus as your Savior, the and all the things from these verses that we've been talking about, the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, upholding the universe by the word of his power, all of that is in the name of Jesus, and we are baptized into the name of Jesus. You need to see that in your baptism. We are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And there, as so, if you have, you, so I, so people say, well, do I need to get baptized? I can hardly believe that you're asking that. You obviously haven't read the scriptures. The minute you see who Jesus is, you say, he is my God. He is the one that I surrender my heart to and my life to. I give my all to him, and I'm starting it off. If I'm a new baby Christian, I start it off by the first thing is I'm a candidate for water baptism. Why? Because I understand who he is. How could I not? So it's the first step of obedience. It's the first where I'm aligning myself with him. It's the one thing I can do. I may not be able to change this. I may owe money over here. Maybe I got to get my life in order over that. But when I give in my heart to Christ, one thing I can do is that I can enter into the waters of baptism and say, I'm identifying with this great and mighty God who has made it all and holds it all together. I yield to you, Lord. And I am saying, here, I want to be baptized. My point is I can't understand why people are hesitating. Why would you even for a moment hesitate? The minute you see, you must enter into the waters to identify with it, of his death, his burial, his resurrection, knowing that all authority and power is his and might and dominion. Wonderful, wonderful God. And yet, we kind of yawn. And yet, this one who called, the one who made the world says, follow me. Yes, Lord, I will. We will. I know they're starting a prayer meeting for pastors kind of leading up to July 1st at the GM place. I think there's, I don't know too much about it, but I know that much about it. And one of the hard things to do, they were saying, was it's hard to get Christians excited. I thought, yeah, that's true. Can you believe that it is? But the church overall, do we know this about him? Do we know this about Jesus? If we do, then somebody light the fire. How can we say, oh yeah, this is all true about him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and? Is your life going to change? No, but isn't this a wonderful truth? Praise God, wonderful truth. Those verses are precious. Yeah, but they're precious. They need to rock me. And then when I saw it, I said, Lord, how can I read this? I'm looking at various verses. I went on the internet, checked on this, checked on that, what other people had said about it. I said, this is good. I'm glad I'm doing this. But you must consume me. I must be consumed. And if I have any doubt again, read it again. Philippians 2, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. Read it again. That's who Jesus is. And he demands my all. I have no other say about it. I just say, Lord, here I am. Whatever time I've got in my life, whatever I do, I want to rededicate myself. I would get rebaptized if I thought it would do any good. I'm not going to, and we're not rebaptizing, but I'm just simply saying, because it's what starts it. It's that we understand the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. And that's why, who else? When the Bible says, God says, let all the holy angels worship him. If he's not deity, how could he say that? Because no one, only, I mean, God alone says, there is none besides me. There is none beside me. There is no other God beside me. I'm the one. And Jesus stands up and says, that's right, I'm the one. And so God the Father is able to have all praise and all glory of all the angels, every angel in the world is invited to fall at the feet of Jesus because he's divine. And now he's looking to you to light a fire in your heart. See, the thing of it is, we can know lots of good Bible things, and they are. It's important. I mean, it's important to know and to read it. I even knelt after I had prepared it so that my heart somehow would be warmed by this. I dare not neglect such a great salvation. That's what I'm saying to you. I must not neglect. How can we neglect so great a salvation? We cannot. So I would beg of you today, just say to God even right now, God, thank you for these pictures of who you are, of your nature, the one who is the exact imprint of God's nature and upholds the universe by the word of his power, the one who provided salvation for us all as we put our trust in him. Lord, fire me up. You see, the problem with us today in our culture is that we get so easily bored with things, and I'm a great candidate for that. I can get excited about something, and I can hear something like today. If I was hearing what I heard, I'd say, that's a good thought. And then I'd be on to something else. I don't know how that fire will stay lit, but I know it has to do with the more you read about Jesus, the more you get that clear. Something will transform in your heart and your life, and he will become... I guess it is also helping me that I'm rereading for about the third time Abandoned to God by Oswald Chambers, who was completely consumed by God and gave himself to God totally and completely. And my heart's just stirred when I read that stuff. And I thought, my goodness, how could it be? This man, he just lived for the glory of God. It's so amazing. So the two implications, number one, if you haven't been baptized in water, you say, I have accepted the Lord of glory into my heart. What does hinder me? What does hinder me from taking the next step of getting baptized in water? So that as you, we'll be doing it inside, by the way, so you can be relieved. But as people come up and they step into the waters, you know, there goes your old life. And now you're saying, Lord, I see who you are. You are worthy of all my praise and my surrender. And this is my first step. I'm going to testify that I know who you are. And I give myself to you. Oh, that's a glorious thing. That's when it becomes a glorious thing. Right? When people are turned on and they're saying, I just really want to tell you, I love Jesus. He's come into my heart. And I want to surrender my whole life to him. And whatever he wants from me, I turn away from all things that are wrong. And I give myself to him to live for him for the rest of my days. Okay, that's the first step, right? That's the first, if there are steps, that's the first step. But the other steps are that the fire of God would so burn that people would come from miles around to see us burn because they've sensed something about our lives. And when we say, well, what is it? We've just been looking at who Jesus is, and that a life lived by the power of the Spirit is what God demands. We must see our lethargy as a horrible, terrible thing. But we don't, because it's kind of nice mostly. Most things are kind of nice, right? I know all the other churches and the pastors. Yeah, how's it going? It's nice. It's good. Things are, it's good. And everything is good and nice, but nothing is all-consuming. Where we say, we have no other choice but to take this message to the nations. We have no other choice but to take it to our neighbors, to whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes to bring bring Jesus to people. Because he is the answer. And I need to be 150% concerned with that and consumed with that I know who he is. I get it. And by God's grace, I want to lay my life down this morning, at least in my heart. Lord, I lay my life down before you. Do not let me slowly burn out, right, or slowly fizzle out. Do not let me be a tired old boy, because I know what sometimes pastors are like when they get older. They've been rehearsing things. It's old stuff. It's not living. It's not vibrant. It's not fire. It was Caleb at age 85 who says, give me that mountain, right? Give me that mountain. And so as we close here this morning, I want you to just ask yourself a question. Once you've read the passage, this is who he is. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. In other words, if somebody recently said, you know, when we pray, I don't know whether to pray in Jesus' name or by the power of the Spirit or Heavenly Father. I don't know how to pray that. I don't know. What is the proper procedure? I said, it doesn't really matter because there is no jealousy in the Godhead. I said, they get along. You don't have to say, oh, I should have said Father. Oh, I should have said God. Oh, I didn't say God. I should have said Holy Spirit. Don't worry about it. You can say, I say Jesus, because everything of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. So you can never go wrong. Say, I'm just thanking Jesus and blessing Jesus. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I tell the candidates when they do get baptized, because they mention God, but there's lots of groups that have God in it, right? God, 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 God. I said, there's one name. I said, I really ask you, when you give your testimony, I want you to lift up the name of Jesus. Say, it is Jesus. That's the difference, right? He's the difference. And so we'll mention that again when we have this baptism service on the 28th. So water baptism for first-time people, as they recognize, and then a fire in your bones so that whatever time we've got before Christ returns. By the way, folks, I think there's something turning. I think all over there's just a little different attitude about stuff, just ever so slight. But I think it may be, a cloud the size of a man's hand, but it contains, a great storm that can come out of that for God's glory. And I want to be part of that, right? I want to be part of what God is doing. But I don't want to just be committed to something. I want to be filled, consumed. Right? I don't want to just be busy going to revival meetings. I want to be on fire, my heart, so that my neighbor senses it and my wife senses it and her fire, and I'm getting touched by that. So I'm just saying, here we have an opportunity for you to say in a greater way. I'm sure everybody here is probably knows the Lord, but do you have you experienced him that there's a fire about you? There's a consuming. That's what I think is. And by the way, when I knelt before the Lord and said, Lord, let this real in my own heart, that these days ahead would be days that I could hardly say that when I started to say, I know who you are. So there can be no argument from me. Whatever you want, I will do. I know you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus. By the way, you wouldn't know anything. You wouldn't know anything about God if it wasn't for Jesus. There'd be very little you'd know. That's why he's the exact representation of our Father, who we have never seen. And maybe we never will see. I don't know. But we will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And to that we proclaim, we say, Lord, bless you. So what I want you to do, Randy, if you'd come. Is he here? I'm finishing earlier today, so that's why I threw everybody off. stand with me. This can seriously change people's morning. What? Did he finish early? I had four things to say, and I said it. Didn't take me as long. But you heard it. And now I want to pray for you as I include myself in this prayer. Dear ones, I really mean that. I want to include myself in this. I know that if our church is so-so in terms of our on-fireness, you've heard me say that the fish always stinks from the head down. So I have no doubt that I'm to blame, at least for part of it, for the spiritual condition, for the state, the state of our lives. We're going to give an accounting tonight financially, but there's a greater one, is how are we doing with our yieldness to the Lord? And without guilt, because there's no place for guilt in this. We don't want to guilt you. Even one ounce, we don't want to guilt you. What we want to do is stir you, that you say, oh, when I read that, that's who our Lord is, isn't it? Yes, that's who he is. That's the one hanging on the cross. No wonder they said, we killed the Lord of glory. We killed him. We killed him. That's who he is. And he's coming back again. All these things are so wonderful. So I'm just so joyed to pray for you. And I'm going to include myself in this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Colossians 1. So much in there. Thank you for Philippians 2. Thank you for Hebrews 1. I know they're put in your book for a reason, so we know who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for everybody who's here this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that we will be caught up in this of Jesus. Jesus. Our Lord Jesus. Great and mighty are you. Oh, God. Lord, you know that we need a touch as a church. And so we just lay ourselves before you. We just say, here we are. Lord, we don't want anybody to feel guilty. We just want to say, we want to feel needy. So here we come, Lord. We're really needy. And I know that I need something beyond just going to church services and reading verses, and as good as and right as those are. So, Lord, here we are. We just say yes to you. I say yes to you, Lord, because I was so touched by that description. That's who you are. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, as I stretch forth my hand, I pray that you would stretch forth yours. And I pray that you would touch every heart. Lord, I'd like to have a heart like Oswald Chambers. He made me thirsty. He made me hungry. As all that mattered to him was you. So, Lord, I pray that every person here who is maybe a bit tired of being where they are, but would like to go beyond, Lord, we raise our hands to you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. You who made the world, made the stars, made the animals, and then would come and give your life for us. Oh, God, thank you. Lord, I pray for each one of us that our response will not just pass around away by 4 o'clock, but that there'd be the beginning of things where we just sense there's a freshness in the church, and an awareness, a deepness of the nature of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Breathe life upon us. Lord, I know it can't just be good intentions. We need an encounter with you. We need a full surrender to you. So, Lord, I'm surrendering my heart fully this morning as much as I know how. If there's areas that I still need to surrender more, then I'll do that. But Lord, with I and my brothers and sisters, we offer to you a full surrender, as much as we know about that. Fully surrendered to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's wonderful. You're wonderful, God. And we give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you just tell him quietly that you love him? I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for an aggressiveness in love. I pray for an aggressiveness. I pray for a radicalness, at least radical for me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he beautiful? He's so beautiful. You are so beautiful. So beautiful. There's none like you. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether beautiful. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus. Thank you, our Messiah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, for those who want to go to another level, just tell God that. Say, God, I want to go further than I've ever gone before. But not in fleshly enthusiasm, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you. Let's ask him to fill us. Thank you, Lord. Fill us. Fill us to overflowing. Oh, God, fill me by the power of the Spirit of God. Thank you. And Lord, I know who lives inside of me, the Creator of the world has come in to live inside of me. How beautiful is that? So thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' strong name. In the name of the one who made it all, who holds it all together, to you be glory and honor, might and power and dominion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I invite you to come for prayer over on this side if anybody here. I think we've got some prayer people here. So some of you people just watch for it. If you need prayer this morning, please come here. If you'd like some coffee, either before or after, come over to this side. If you have a connection card, you make sure you see Marcel at the back, if you would. If you have any questions, talk to Marcel at the table. Or drop anything you have in the basket over here. Thank you.